I just want to talk briefly and give a testimony a little bit about living out some of the things that we've been talking about in these Bible studies. Maybe saying that the ideas that we presented at this website, talking about ministry being in everyone and not exercising authority over others and releasing one another to ministry, sound like a kind of high-minded ideas, the idea that we don't need to take up tithes and offerings and so on and worry so much about money or make money such an important issue in operating as Christians together. You may be thinking that those are kind of naive ideas, or there's ideas that just aren't realistic. They're ideas that really won't work in the real world. Well, I want to explain this through the testimony, a personal testimony of the ministry that we've been doing for the last, about 14 years now, and explained it in terms of understanding that the Lord actually had us live out a lot of these concepts and ideas before we even understood them from the Bible. In fact, actually, that's one of the major problems we have with ministry, is that we have so much example of ministry around us that we tend to run to imitating other people very quickly. And I'm going to tell you some of the mistakes that we've made along the way that the Lord has showed us about how to correct them and helped us lead us actually to a better understanding of what the direction we should be going in. Let me go back and start. Quite a number of years ago, in around 1994, 93, my wife and I bought a computer, okay, and the Lord directed us to do this, and we started writing Christian tracts. You know what a tract is? It's a small booklet that tells the gospel, very simple ones, very, you know, directly the gospel, talking about how Jesus loves us and how he died for our sin and that we need to repent and understand that we fall short of the perfection that the laws of God require, but that Jesus has paid the full price for our salvation with his blood on the cross, and that his offering saves all of us and saves mankind, and we simply need to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that the Lord God has raised him from the dead and will be saved. And we made a bunch of tracts, very simple ones, on our home computer. I like to draw pictures and so on, and we included a lot of little pictures in these tracts and so on. Well, we made these tracts. We probably made about 30 or 40 of them. And of course, we were just handing them out and distributing them wherever we could. And then I made a mistake. And this is, I think, the best mistake I ever made in my life, but it was a mistake. What I did was I used my experience. I looked around me and used what I saw other people doing. And since I was making Christian tracts, my presumption was that God wanted me to be a Christian tract publisher. Of course, in my experience, I had seen Christian tracts in Christian bookstores. So I came up with this idea, and I want to say this was 100% my idea. I thought it was what God wanted me to do at the time, but it was really completely my idea. I got a mailing list and sent out samples of our tracts to a couple hundred Christian bookstores all around the country, and put in a little envelope in there and said, you know, if you would like to have more of our tracts, simply request them and we'll send them to you. And if you'd like to include a donation to help us out, feel free to do so. I felt that this was the right thing to do. I had seen other people do it. It was my experience. It was what I thought ministry was, or what I thought Christian tracts should be about. I guess I had seen other people do this kind of thing. Well, what happened was it was a complete 100% failure. No one returned any of our envelopes and asked for more tracts. It was only then that I decided to pray about it. Fortunately, God is forgiving. When I sat down and prayed about it, and I said, well, what's up? What's going on here, God? I mean, you led us to make all these tracts, and now it seems like no one's interested in having them in the Christian bookstores. And this was when the Lord gave me the simplest word, the one that has affected me for my entire life. He simply said to us that this was not a business, but it was a ministry. And that simple word has been resounding through my life ever since. What I took that to mean was that we shouldn't worry about money, we shouldn't worry about trying to seek donations, and we shouldn't try to worry about following the pattern of other people that we see. And then suddenly it was as if my eyes opened up a little bit, and I realized that at that point, at that time, the internet, the World Wide Web, had just been pretty much been invented and just been starting. And at that time, I started to the Lord led me to realize that led us to realize that we could take our tracks and make them available to people for free through the internet. And now, at the beginning, we just basically, I read a book and found out how to make a very simple website, and people started sending us their addresses, and we started sending tracks through the mail, just for free. And then we went along that way for a while, and there was a point where I remember someone sent us a request for tracks that where they asked for about 15,000 tracks. Now, we never had had someone ask for that many. So again, I was asking the Lord, well, how are we going to supply this? How are we going to do this? You know, I had the ideas, and from reading the Bible, that God would supply what we need if we were going to go serve him and so on. Well, we made these tracks. We sent them out to these people, and we had to have them printed in a printer, and it was a little bit expensive. And when I finished it, the Lord said this word to me. He said, "You're working too much." It was a very unusual word. I was expecting that he wanted us to do more and more in that direction of giving away free tracts to people and having them printed. But he actually made me understand that I was actually doing too much of the work myself. And he made me realize that I needed to work with others rather than have some kind of an authority over others. You see, and now here we start talking about what we've been teaching at this website about authority and so on, and what the Lord has shown us. But the point was, here was this point where I had, in fact, taken too much of the responsibility myself. So right at that point, my eyes once again felt like they opened a little bit wider, and I realized that instead of printing tracts for people and giving them to them, we could actually give them the master copy themselves. You see, the point is, if you have something, give it away completely. Don't hold it, you see, because if you're holding the master copy and just printing it for people, in a way, that's a kind of exercising of authority. They have to come back to you to make more copies. And at the same time, you're not encouraging them to produce and minister themselves. You're not releasing them. You're not really working together in an equal sense. You see, it's difficult to work together equally with others. It's something that has to be strived toward and worked on, and there has to be adjustments made continually. And like I say, and as I'm going to say throughout this testimony, there's no way I know how to do it perfectly. But I know that's the direction to head in. I know that's the direction God wants us to head in. Anyway, we started giving away the master copies to people. People would send them through the mail, and then, of course, we started letting people download them for free from the internet. Well, we went along that way for a couple more years, and we had quite a few thousands, hundreds of thousands of people coming and downloading tracks and sending them through the mail if they couldn't download them off the internet. And then there was a certain point where the Lord spoke this word to me and said, he told me, stop making tracks. Don't make any more tracks. And I was a little bit taken aback, but again, he was trying to open my eyes just a little bit wider again to his way of working and the way his body is in the earth and his way of doing things. He had me write a little part of our homepage that said, do you make Christian tracts? Do you write? How do you witness the gospel? Write it down. Send it to us. We know how to take your writing and put it into a tract. Well, since that point, we've had literally hundreds of people send us their writings, Bible studies, Christian tracts, hundreds of them, some of them beautifully written, beautifully well written, better than I could write, in fact. Others are in very simple, almost street language, you know. Some of them are just, you know, you need Jesus because you're going to hell kind of tracts. The Lord shows us that we should publish all kinds of tracts. So suddenly our website took on not just our voice. It wasn't just me preaching all the time the gospel. It was the voices of many, many people coming and bringing their way, their gifts of witnessing and carrying the gospel, their ministries. So all of a sudden we were encouraging others to share, you know, enabling others to share their ministry and do their ministry with the others who were going to print the tract. So all of a sudden we're working with hundreds and in fact thousands of Christians literally around the world. Some people translated our tracts into all different kinds of languages. We had people translate our tracts into Russian and Spanish and languages from the South Pacific. And unbelievable things started happening like that because we started connecting with all these people. And I feel it's a connection with the entire body of Christ and a connection with God's church, with the people that he wants me to work with and us to work with. We work together as equally as we possibly can. And we're all doing it for free. Money does not have to be an issue. Again, these are, you might have thought, you know, these are very high-minded terms, but they're very practical terms, and they make perfect sense when you think of the free gift we have to give out. If we can give it freely, you know, Paul mentions about giving the gospel with no charge, not charging for the gospel. What a concept that is. What an idea to strive toward, to work toward. And the way to do it is to encourage and realize that everyone has these ministries, everyone has gifts, everyone has unique gifts, different gifts. You know, in the Bible, after the day of Pentecost, it says that they went out and spoke in other languages, in other tongues, but not just anything, and not just as a sign, but rather they went and spoke the specific languages that people needed to hear the gospel in. It said they spoke the mighty works of God to people. They were telling the gospel in specific languages, because at that time in Jerusalem, it says there were people who spoke different languages, and they needed to hear the gospel. Here's the point. God sees the needs of the unsaved. Christians often get away from that concept and don't realize that. We're always hoping God will see our needs. But I believe God sees the needs of the unsaved, maybe to a greater degree than he does to us Christians at some point, because he's more desperate to get them into his body and into his kingdom. So there's people out there who need to hear the gospel and simple terms and in street language, and there's some people who need to hear the gospel in very well written and intellectual terms. Well, all of a sudden at their website, when we opened up this gate of ministry where people started coming and bringing their files and their Bible studies and their tracts and the way they witnessed to us, well, all of a sudden there was all these voices speaking at our website. It was not just one voice. It was not just me and my wife who had originated everything. We were just part of the group. So we were operating together, I truly believe, operating together as the church, operating together as Christians, as equals, and literally encouraging and releasing one another to minister, not putting money as a goal, not putting a repetitive format in a way, not taking on the traditions of the church to build a building and to worship and praise God, but rather to truly serve God and carry the gospel and respect one another's ministry and work together as equals. Now, can I say that I do this perfectly? Of course not. Along the way, we've continued to learn more and open up more gates and open up more ways that we can work together as equals, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, and respect and encourage the ministry that everyone has. Those are the goals we've set ourselves up. The Lord set us kind of these principles of not accepting or soliciting any donations, but rather to recognize and realize that everyone has a way of ministering the gospel and do everything we can with the vehicle of the internet to help people get together and equip one another to share this gospel. The people on one end are printing and taking the responsibility of printing the tracts and multiplying them. And we've had many, many people write back to us and say, we took the tracts on your website and multiplied them, made 15,000 or 20,000 copies or 5,000 copies and handed them out at a football game or at a different venues, literally all around the world. We've had people take our tracts and translate them. And at the same time, it's not just our tracts, my tracts, but rather the tracts of hundreds of other Christians who have come and posted their tracts at the website. Very interesting. If we just meet together on these terms, it's cut across denominational boundaries and all the little names and boundaries we like to set ourselves up for as Christians. Because we agree on the fact that Jesus is Lord and that the gospel is what we want to share, with one another and with the world. And we want to learn how to encourage one another and enable one another to share this gospel. Up to this point, I could say that we've by my estimate, we've given away about 30 to 50 million free tracts. Millions of tracts. It's hard for me to believe that. It's not all my work. It's the work of thousands of other Christians who have taken the responsibility of printing those tracts, and the hundreds of other Christians who have come and contributed their own ministry and their own way of witnessing the gospel, their writing gift and writing ability. Now, you may say, well, that works on the internet because the internet is a free sort of way of communicating. Of course, I'd just like to say that I personally believe that the internet is something that Christians should just be all over as much as possible, because it's a way of communicating things freely. We can communicate now in even audio and video terms freely. I don't see why Christian music isn't foremost in that, and giving away free music and giving away free teachings and so on in the Bible. I think that Christians should immediately be jumping on this opportunity to be able to share the free gift message that we have in a very open forum, in a way that's very free for people to have and very inexpensive to do. But you may be saying that these same rules wouldn't apply to other ways of sharing the gospel. I believe so. I mean, certainly these same concepts should apply to a Christian home meeting. If we truly were meeting in our homes together in an area, if we were going to operate together locally as a church, well, gee, why couldn't we meet in many homes that we already have? One of the first principles is to utilize what you have. That's a very biblical principle. Jesus said to utilize what you have. He talked about his teaching on money. He talked about the lilies of the field, where God has clothed them in beauty, and therefore they already have what they need. And so he's saying God will supply what you need, because he'll give you what you need when you go serve him. I always think of the parable of the loaves and the fishes as being very applicable to what's happened on our website over the years. It's not a parable, it's a true story. In that story, a little boy brings, Jesus tells his disciples to go feed the 5,000, and their first reaction is to go and take up a collection, to go into the city and buy some food for the people. Jesus says, no, use what you have. And the little boy brings forth the loaves and the fishes, and suddenly they're multiplied to feed 5,000. One of the points of this is that God will supply what you need if you utilize what you already have. You see, it's never been a work that's been beyond us. I couldn't personally print millions of tracts, but all the thousands of people who have printed 50 and 120 and 40 and 3,000 tracts on their own, because they're very inexpensive, we can provide them free to those people. So because we provide them free, they can duplicate them on a copying machine or in their own computers and print them themselves. So it's we're passing on this giving. You see, it's all about giving. But giving is giving your ministry. It's not giving your money to a building or to someone else who feeds you teachings all the time. It should be about giving toward the gospel, which is that free gift, and giving toward the lost, and giving toward the unsaved. So that's what we're doing. They're giving that. We're giving the vehicle to put together these tracts, and there's others who are giving their writing gift. We're able to give away all these millions of tracts and so on. And again, I believe these principles could apply to almost any kind of ministry. If we ask God and we get honest and we believe that his principles will work in almost any forum. His principles is simply of understanding that every Christian has ministry to do, and that these ministries should work together without exercising any one exercising authority over others. That's a very important principle. So that means you shouldn't have to do, one person shouldn't have to do all the work. That should be good news to a lot of people who are full-time paid professional ministers who work very, very, very hard. The Lord has always shown us not to work so hard, but rather to find others who will help you and work with them. I think that's a principle that Jesus illustrated when in the first action he does in his ministry is to choose 12 common men whom he will work with, and then choose and then let them be released to do everything he did. He prayed that they would do all he did and greater. And if he prayed that, then it came true. They worked with him right away. He didn't have to teach them for years and years and years. They immediately were we're working with him, praying for the sick and taking care of the lost and helping people out and helping spread the gospel, just like Jesus did. Because, and now we have his perfect example. And again, here's one of the things that I always say. We're following a perfect example, but we're imperfect people. Therefore, the process of ministering and working together should be one that's filled with mistakes. You see, the first thing I tell you about is my mistakes, and I could tell you some more mistakes that I've made. But I know that, see, the direction to head in is to follow this perfect example. So therefore, we shouldn't have a preordained set of rules that are all perfect. Isn't that what church is like? Isn't that what we think church is like? A preordained set of rules where everything is perfectly in order and everything is perfectly, pre-planned and preordained and pre-set by just a handful of people. And the participation is minimal by the most of the people. That's, I believe, the exact opposite of what ministry could be and should be and was biblically. I think Jesus was actively incorporating everyone he could into his ministry and to releasing everyone he could to share this gospel with others. And the point being that since he knew and since the Bible says that everyone has these ministry gifts to fulfill and to follow, they should be worked together equally as best as possible. Now, in the Bible, Jesus warned us not to exercise authority one over another among ourselves. He warned at least four or five times, I count in the Bible, he warned people not to do that. It's very easy. It's a mistake that could be made, okay? So the mistake, again, I made that mistake right off. I was thinking that I was going to become a publishing, someone who could publish tracts and make money off it even, or I never really had big money goals, but I thought I would be like other things I had seen. Don't go by your experience. Go by what the Word of God says. God has higher goals for us to achieve. So if we're going to achieve those higher goals, we must correct ourselves. We must let God correct us as we go through our ministries. So the process is correction. Even just lately, the Lord has shown me that I needed to incorporate ideas that other people have had on how to share tracks. Someone just recently told us to share tracks on CD. I've never thought of that. What a great idea. So we've incorporated that. We even give away the format that we use to make tracks so that people have taken the format off of our website, which is available for free, made their own tracks, then sent them back to us, and we post them at our website. Other people come and download them and use them. So it's all open. As everything we possibly can, we give it away for free so that it enables others to do their work in their ministry. And so it's a very simple concept, but it can be, it's a concept that you need to keep working on and correcting yourself. As I said, I'm sure that almost any kind of ministry could utilize these concepts, because I think they're the correct concepts that God works by. And I can see the result that we have when we've had millions of free tracts sent out all across the world. And we've had many people write back and say that they've led people to God using our tracts and using the tracts that are on our website. It's not my tracts, it's the ones that other people have written. It's the ones that other people have downloaded and handed out. So it's a whole group working together. I think this concept could work beautifully in a local church if people simply utilize what we have. Number one, recognize that other people, everyone has ministry to fulfill, therefore every voice should be heard. Now, of course, in the format of church, the traditional format, that can't happen. We have a preordained idea that one person's voice is the only one that can be heard and everyone must say amen to that voice. No, there should be discussion and even disagreement within the church. There should be. Because we need to work out and discuss how we might serve God better. And I don't suggest that we argue with one another, but I suggest that we should sit and discuss and break bread together, as it says in the Bible. Talk with one another and decide who can do what. And in the process, let's encourage one another to say, find out what gifts one another has, and then see how we can work those gifts together. Like, for example, I mean, if I could say this, but I've always desired for years, knowing that I know how to make Christian tracks, I would have loved to, I still would love to be able to work with some Christians who are interested locally in my area in sharing Christian tracks. I always would love to work with other Christians in my local area to say, gee, I know how to make tracks. tell me how you guys witness, what you need in a tract, and I'll make one for you. Now, of course, we've done that even through the internet for specific needs that people have had, but I would have loved to do that as a part of a function with local people, but it's just never happened, because locally, I find that most people are just sure that their need is to go to church every week and be there on Sunday and put, you know, the money in the basket and say amen. And even if they go and witness the gospel, they kind of do it on their own, alone. You see, there needs to be an organization in the church of an understanding that we could be organized as the church and organized together as a gospel witnessing vehicle for God to use. You see, so those small groups of apostleship could work together. I would love to work in that. I'd like to see that happen on a local level. I've had this happen in a strange way through the internet, in a way that touches with many, many Christians around the world. But I think the local church could organize itself with these same principles very easily. And would it work perfectly? No. And that's the point. The point is, it doesn't work perfectly all the time, every time. It's not a perfect preordained set of rules in a format like that. Not at all. In fact, it's open. We need, Christians need to and should meet often, frequently, without any preordained ideas, and simply ask God what he wants done at that given moment. That's how a ministry should be run. That's how we've tried to run our ministry over the years, and say, Lord, what do we need to do in this moment, in this time? Should we change this? Should we add this? There's a direction you head in. The directions are there in the Bible. Jesus is the perfect example. We're all going to fall short of that example, so therefore we need to keep ourselves open to hear his instructions and his changes and his corrections. But the direction to head is to recognize ministry in all, encourage ministry in all, release ministry in all people, not exercise authority, not have one person take the preeminence among us, as it says in the Bible. No, Christ is the only one who's supposed to have the preeminence. And to respect the idea that we need to let everyone minister and not let money run us, not let money be the first object, but rather let utilize what we have. Would be amazed that I personally believe Christians already possess enough to get the whole world saved. I don't think we need to raise more money to get the world saved. You know, it's one of the misnomers in Christianity. If we had more money, we'd carry the gospel out to the world better. Well, I don't personally believe that. I think God has supplied enough for all Christians if we did work what we have together. But what we really have together is one another and the gifts of ministry within one another. You see? So these ministry gifts need to be released. We need to be not exercising authority one over another. And we need to be working in the purpose of the gospel and letting God lead us and correct us as we go along. It's an interesting principle. It's an exciting principle. It never gets boring. I've been doing this for many, many years now through the internet. And it's not boring. It's very interesting. Every day brings a new challenge. But it's been amazing because it's never been overwhelming. It's never been too much work. We've always worked our jobs and taking care of our family and our children at the same time. It's not an overwhelming job. It's not something that has to be done full-time, paid professional type of thing. Not at all. It's something that God wants all of us to work in our time and in the time and with the energy we have available to give to him. You see? But if we all did a little part, we could do so much more. If we all encouraged those little parts to be done together and respected one another, respected, as the Bible says, even any members that are least or greatest, there's no least or greatest. We should respect all equally, because that's what the Bible asks us to do in the New Testament. Of course, tradition makes us fulfill the old covenant when we don't have to. It makes us base ourselves on the traditional, on the sacrificial laws in the old covenant. And we've talked about that in other Bible studies, how the church is really bound up in a format that's based on sacrificial law with tithes and offerings turned from the offering for sin that Israel had given, turned those things into money and so on. So now we've invited the spirit of money was invited in the church, but this happened 1700 years ago. And in the process, ministry redefined as authority over others. So now we're missing these elements in the church because we have these other definitions in the church that are truthfully wrong according to the new covenant. The new covenant has the right to change things from the old covenant. So in the New Covenant, Jesus gave us this perfect example of working equally with others, not exercising authority, releasing ministry and all, and letting God lead from afar. So therefore, we have to correct ourselves, change ourselves, as we go through these ministries and as we seek to serve God better. So I'm just someone who's been trying to seek God and seek His will and try to serve Him better and in a more closer walk with Him. You know, we all talk about walking with Jesus, and, you know, I think a lot of us feel we walk with Jesus, and I know so many Christians that do. But God wants us to do more than just feel Him. He wants us to walk with Him in terms of how He served God and how Jesus gave this perfect example of serving the Father. Well, I think that's what the Bible asks us to do. We need to walk with Jesus in His service, in His ministry, in His way of doing things, which is kind and loving and generous and fruitful and not overburdensome to one person. You know, that's what's great. I mean, you see the fruit of it becomes love because we've met so many people over the years and we've worked with so many people. And that's what Christian ministry could be and should be, I think, is we release one another. We're not holding one another in any positions. We're not exercising an authority over one another. We're not created a repetitive format where people have to keep coming back to us. In fact, we know people for a season and then they move on to other things. That's the way it should be. That's the way it's very important that we let one another move on to whatever the Lord is leading us. We don't hold someone captive to our own ministry. That's not how it's supposed to be. It's kind and it's loving and it's generous and it's following Jesus imperfectly. And boy, I know I'm imperfect. I know I don't follow Him perfectly. So therefore, I need to keep correcting myself. But I want to keep correcting myself in the direction of love toward others and compassion toward the unsaved, and compassion toward my fellow brothers and sisters, and understanding what great gifts they have. Because, you see, in the end, we've created a website that's so much greater than I could have ever created alone. And we've done so much more work than I could have ever tried to do myself by raising money. I would have limited myself so much by raising money and putting money first. I would have limited myself and God so much, especially God, I would have limited Him so much by saying, I'm the one who's going to write all the tracks and be the boss of the ministry. Well, I'm not the boss. He is. And I found that there's so many other people who are so gifted, so talented, so intelligent, and know how to share the gospel in such beautiful ways. Those ways need to be exposed, because the more they're exposed, the more people are going to get saved. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line is the more ministry we have, the more people are going to get saved, the more people are going to enter God's kingdom. It says that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, I believe. It says that the ministry gifts are meant to edify the body. That means the ministry gifts in all, with, as it says in Ephesians 4:16, every part doing its share. Well, that's what we need to attain toward. We need to strive toward that. Let's see if we can get every part to do its share. I can't say that I've done it perfectly. I'm sure that God needs to correct me in even greater ways so that more people could share the gospel and more freely, you see. But that's the direction I want to head in. You don't need money for it. You don't need money. You don't need to put money in the directions and the directives of money first. Jesus said you can't serve God and money. Well, they're at opposite corners. They're in opposite goals. And the fact is, you don't need to put money in and be in, it doesn't have to be involved at all. We could operate the church without money being an issue. We've done it. We've been doing it for many years, for 13 or 14 years now. And there's no money involved in it. There's only ministry and love. Those are the things we need to maximize. Let's all serve God. Let's all work together as brothers and sisters. I hope this helps somebody. I hope this helps somebody understand and perhaps gives you some ideas and encouragements on what you might be able to do to serve God. You know, I believe everyone has unique gifts, and we need to seek out others who have those similar kind of unique gifts, find others who maybe have different gifts, work together with everyone we can meet, with everyone, every other believer we can find. You see, we shouldn't isolate ourselves and try to put ourselves in some kind of position of power. That's the wrong way of doing things. The right way is to work humbly and generously and in love and in unity with one another. That's what the Bible says again when it talks about ministry gifts. It talks about the lowliness and meekness and working together as equals, because God is in all and through all of us, and he's given all of us this gift to serve him. And it's a very important gift, very important. And I just pray that you'll find your gift, and when you do, you'll find others who have that same gift and will work with them and encourage them and release them. Well, I hope this helped you. I hope this helped you understand where we're coming from and what we're talking about. It's very simple, really, and it makes just common sense is what it is. But because it has all of God's love in it and all of God's compassion and all of God's power in it. And I think it's something that we all can do and we all can strive toward. We need to turn away from some things, though. We may need to turn away from our traditions and our formats and our ideas of what's correct. But I think we can if we let the Word of God lead us and if we let Jesus lead us and we do the best we can to respect one another and treat one another as equals. Well, God bless you.